that knowledge shall increase. And since Azusa Street, knowledge has increased greatly. Here on this subject, we are all witnesses to that. And you can get it right here in the bookshop. And then this book, even greater. I don't know if any one of you has got that already. Well, I tell you, if you read it, it knocks you off your sofa. It's fantastic. This is spiritual food, and these are testimonies, 12 real life stories that inspire you to do great things for God. Most people tell me they start reading it and cannot finish, cannot stop until it is finished. So you will be blessed as well. Praise God. Praise God. I need to tell you something. I feel prompted by the Holy Spirit to do so. I want to tell you how the Bonnke family came to Jesus. It's just a half a minute. My ancestors come from East Germany, the thickly forested areas of East Germany. And 100 years ago, they didn't know Jesus. They had never heard that Jesus saves, never heard that Jesus heals, absolutely not. But my grandfather, as a young man, was very sick. He had some form of rheumatism. There was no medicine. He had pains, ceiling pains, they call it, excruciating pains. Nobody could touch him. He could suffer no pressure on his body. And he often screamed. The people said they heard him right at the end of the road. And then a miracle happened. An Assemblies of God missionary from America lost his way in the forest. And instead of complaining and grumbling that he was lost and had wasted time, when he arrived in our village, the first question was, is here anybody sick? They said, yes, here in this house is a young man screaming. The village can hear him. That man entered the Bonnke home. He prayed for my grandfather, who was instantly healed. And my family became born again. That man was an old man. 4 years later, he died. I never met him, of course. But one thing I know for sure, when that man entered my ancestor's house, the Holy Spirit put a thread through the needle. And I believe that man in heaven will get a reward for every soul I was able to win here on earth. Hallelujah. And I feel in my heart the Holy Spirit is here to put the thread through your needle. Young men, young women, the next generation is crying out. They need to hear the gospel. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Amen. And that brings me right to my subject, because the Great Commission, Mark 16:15, Matthew 28, we'll find it. I find it everywhere. The more I read the Bible, the more I find the Great Commission everywhere. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all the world. These were the last words of Jesus. And I'm sure that we have to attach great importance to his last words. The last words are very important words. Jesus did not die for us to get a great career or for pastors to have a well-paid job. Jesus died, according to his own mouth, to seek and to save those who are lost. That took him to the cross. That is the heart of the gospel. It's the cross and it's the blood of Jesus. It's his burial, resurrection, and ascension. What a mighty God we serve. Go into all the world. Go. Why don't you go? I have a burden to preach this. And again and again and again, I pray that people may be stirred up by the Holy Spirit. The older I get, the greater the urge seems to be. I want to help young men to do what I also do. I'm happy to see these young people here in front when we were worshiping. I remember my own days when I was their age. How wonderful, how glorious, and how God had, Jesus had captured my heart and given me a hunger for the things of God. Was unbelievable. And then, all of a sudden, you know, God began to use me. Jesus said, go, go, go. I always wondered why he kept saying, when I read it, I have the impression Jesus was just almost pushing them. He pushed them. Go, why don't you go? Why don't you go? Because God goes with goers, but he doesn't sit with sitters. And he doesn't sleep with sleepers. He goes with goers. He said, go. And then I had a revelation. Let me just quickly share that with you. From Genesis chapter 1. Why it is so important to go and preach the gospel. I suddenly saw the foundational relationship between the Holy Spirit and the Holy Word of God. The working relationship. What is the working relationship between the Holy Spirit and the Word of God? And that answered, when I saw what I saw, and I'm going to share that with you, it answered 1,000 questions that I had in my mind. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Imagine this prehistoric ocean of matter boiling, roaring. Thank God we weren't created yet. Oh, must have been terrible. But it says the Holy Spirit was hovering, hovering, hovering over that chaos. He was hovering, hovering, hovering. The Bible doesn't say how long he hovered. Maybe a million years or a billion years. The Bible doesn't say so. But one thing I do know from this scripture, as long as he hovered, nothing happened. Absolutely nothing happened. Until verse 3. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Why did nothing happen before? The Holy Spirit cannot work on his own. He was waiting for something. He was waiting for the Word. The Holy Spirit cannot work without the Word. Somebody has got to speak the Word of God. And then the Holy Spirit will just interrupt his hovering. And there will be light. There will be salvation. There will be deliverance. Oh, hallelujah. And now I see Jesus push his disciples saying, go, 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 go into all the world. Why don't you go? The Holy Spirit is hovering somewhere, waiting for somebody to come and preach the gospel. It may be a nation. It may be a city. It may be a family. He's hovering, hovering. He needs people to rise and go and say, thus says the Lord. Now that is the working relationship between the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. We do the preaching. Of course, you know, the Holy Spirit is not obliged to confirm what you preach if you preach politics. He's not obliged to cooperate when you just give your own opinion. The Bible is not a collection of Christian opinions. It is the eternal Word of God. If we preach what the apostles preached, we will get what the apostles got. It's the original gospel. Speak the word of God as you find them in Scripture. And I tell you, the Holy Spirit is very keen and eager to comply. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Some people, many Christians, say the world will get saved when we pray. I very much believe in prayer, believe me. I really do. Nothing works without prayer. This world was created so that it works with prayer. That's how God made things. And we do pray. But the world will not get saved if we only pray. Do you hear me? If all Christians in Canada would pray 365 days per year, day and night, for Canada to be saved, Canada will still go to hell until someone wakes up in the prayer meeting and goes outside on the street to tell a lost soul that Jesus saves. That's when the Holy Spirit kicks in. And that's when conviction comes and salvation follows. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't say, go and pray. He said, go and preach. We do pray in between. But when the day of harvest comes, some people said, you're fasting all the time. No. No, we eat well. Especially when we are working. We may fast before, we may fast after, but when the day of harvest comes, that's when we eat and preach and eat and preach and eat and preach. Amen. Everything has its season, and that is also included here. Hallelujah. When Jesus died on the cross, something absolutely dramatic happened. In Matthew, we read that the veil of the temple was rent. That thick, embroidered veil. And it rent from top to bottom. Exposing the holiest of holies. Declaring that God was no more behind the veil. He was now out and about. The God of the temple had become the God of the whole wide world. For God so loved the world. Oh, hallelujah. I was speaking in the US at a college where they specialize on worship. Now, I was there an evangelist, and the dean said, we have an evangelist here. He will speak to us. Well, you can guess what I spoke on. I only got one theme. Hallelujah. I feel this is so important, I can't get away from it. So I preached on how to win our generation for Jesus Christ. When I was gone, one student was my friend there, so I heard what happened afterwards. The dean said, my dear students, you just heard an evangelist. We just studied the tabernacle. We are in the holiest of holy. We worship. He is in the outer court. Well, when I heard that, I thought if I had anything to say in that college, Bible college, I would send the dean back to school. Has he not read that the veil in the temple was rent? We cannot hide behind a veil. Jesus is out and about. And I give you an even specific more geographic description of where Jesus is right now. He's here. He's here. Christianity is not a religion for pilgrimages. We do not find Jesus in a shrine. Our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And when he says, go into all the world, we go into all the world and we preach the gospel to every creature. Say amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus said that he would be wherever we are, his indiscriminate faithfulness. He's faithful. He's always here. He said, go. And I tell you why, yes, we have to go. If we don't go, Jesus will never arrive. You get that? If we don't go, Jesus cannot arrive. But when we go, he goes with us. May God help us. I said it before and I say it now. Jesus will lift you out of the deepest pit, but he will not lift you from a soft armchair. You've got to get up yourself. You've got to volunteer and say, here am I, Lord. It's me. It's me. It's just Reinhard. But it's me, Lord. I want to go and I want to follow you. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The church is not a gourmet restaurant for fine food. It's a canteen for workers. Here you get high calorie, not to grow fat, but to go out and preach the gospel. Do something for Jesus. Is that true? Yeah. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, that is true. That is true. That is true. That is true. Creation cost God nothing. How did God create the universe and everything? These galaxies, I think he did this as we do with little paper balls. He enjoyed it. His mouth was filled with laughter. Creation cost him nothing. And did not, as much as God gives, it will never impoverish him. Because if you are almighty, what you can't become poorer. So when I give, it's different as when he gives. Creation did not cost him a single drop of sweat, but our salvation cost him everything. His only begotten Son. Hallelujah. And now imagine God in the Garden of Gethsemane sweating blood for us. What love and what glory. I pray here, young people, especially the young, I want to talk to the representatives of the next generation. The Lord said, in the last days, sons and daughters shall prophesy. Hallelujah! Young men shall see visions, not just television. I think the emphasis is on the young people here in Joel chapter 2. What a glorious opportunity. I heard that call when I was just 10 years of age. My father was the pastor. Jesus had spoken to my heart. I ran forward. I put my arms around my papa. I said, Papa, God has spoken to me. He said, Son, what did he say? He said, when I'm grown up, I'm going to preach the gospel in Africa. My father said, Reinhard, your oldest brother shall be my successor. Well, since my father had the smallest church in Germany, I've thanked God a million times for that. No kidding. Why did my father pick my brother? Because he was the best at school in mathematics. And I was the worst. But God does his own choosing. And is not responsible to give us explanations why he picks the one and not the other. Why did he pick David above Eliab? Well, even the prophet could imagine that. But God took me and gave such a hunger in my heart, filled me with the Holy Spirit. A year after that, I could not be contained anymore. I wanted to go and preach, but I was only 12 and 13. I said to the young people in the church, let's have an open air meeting. He said, why don't you go alone? I said, good idea. I took my guitar. I stood at a street corner. I started to play and sing. I couldn't preach. But people stood around me and they said, oh, what a nice boy. Nice boy. I had a flame on my head. Nice boy. I couldn't preach, but I could talk about Jesus. And one man received Jesus. I ran home as fast as my feet took me. I shouted to my dad. I said, Dad, one man got saved. It works, Dad, it works. It works. When I saw a million people saved in one meeting, I shouted again, it works. It still works. Jesus is working. Hallelujah. Go. Preach. And that flame from heaven will travel with you. And you will see God's glorious, glorious, glorious cooperation. Co-workers together with him. The first time God used me to heal the sick was totally traumatic. for me, again in my father's little church, I was on my knees praying, my hands on the floor. Suddenly something happened. A sensation like electricity came into my hands. I thought, now what is this? Where's the plug? Electricity, electricity, electricity. And it became stronger. Suddenly I heard the Holy Spirit speak in my heart. He said, Reinhard, that woman over there is very sick. I want you to go and lay your hands on that woman and she will be healed. I said, Lord, my father is the pastor. I said, Lord, he will never allow that. That's his job. I said, Lord, you don't know my father. He's going to hit me. He will kill me. How did the Lord respond? He increased the voltage. And the power came up. And came up. I tried to shake it out. It didn't work. And I thought, if it reaches my heart, I'm dead. So I thought, either my father will kill me or the power. I can just as well obey. I've got nothing to lose. I'm not cracking jokes here. This is really what happened. So I decided to do it. First I checked Father. His eyes were closed. He was praying. I checked the lady. Her eyes were closed. That was the moment to go. On all fours I crawled. Right next to that lady. I checked one more time. Father's eyes were closed. Her eyes were closed. And in a second, I popped up, put my hand on her head, and popped down. She screamed. Ah! Then I heard my father's voice. I thought the day of judgment had come. He said to the lady, what did Reinhard do to you? Oh, she said, when that boy laid his hands on me, a current of electricity went through my body. I'm healed. Urabashika ropoposari andalabasai. Hallelujah. I must say one thing. My father was proud of me. We became the best friends. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is here. I'm now 67 years of age. I want to preach as long as I live. But one thing I want to tell you, it's time. I want to see the next generation pop up like popcorn. It always amazes me when I hear young men, I say to them, what are you going to do? You are leaving high school. Oh, I'm going to study there. Then I do this, and then I do that, and then I do that. I hear nothing about the will of God. I said just lately to someone, don't you think it would be worth a while to kneel down and say, Lord, what did you have in mind for my life? I want to follow you. I want to do your will. And I tell you, if you do that, Jesus will hurry to speak. Because we don't serve a God. We Christians, our God, the Bible mocks gods that have mouths and don't speak. We have a speaking God. And we are hearing people. Just ask him to speak and he will speak. And I said, Lord, there before I left for Africa, I go to Africa even if I only win one soul for Jesus and I'm getting buried in the hot sands of the Sahara. I said, Lord, it would still be worth a while. I still would want to go. My brothers, my unsafe brothers at that time, they said, Reinhard, will you suffer like our father? We didn't have food in the house. I said, I made an agreement with God through the book of Jeremiah, where the Lord said, you will have water for sure and bread for sure. And I agreed that that is enough for me. Wow. I'll tell you one thing. That water was always the finest tea. And that bread had butter and sausage and jam on it. Hallelujah! Make a contract with God. He overfulfills it always. It is good to trust the Lord. Trust him, trust him, trust him! He's talking to you right now. He's talking to you. Hallelujah. You may have heard me say that. I don't know, but some people, they listen to my tapes. I have a son-in-law. One day, he's a preacher too. One day he said to me, Dad, one day you will become slower and I will become faster. I said, son, sit down. I want to explain something to you. I said, I am like a Boeing 747. At the end of the runway, it is fastest. Amen. No skid marks. We just pull up and land in the New Jerusalem. Say amen. But until then, my heart shall go on singing. Until then, with joy I carry on. Until the day my eyes shall see the city. Until the day God calls me home. Young people, the day for you has come. There's no higher calling in this whole world. You see, republics come and republics go. God bless them all. Fashions come, fashions go. But God's kingdom is from everlasting to everlasting and to everlasting. And with my mortal hands, I build his eternal kingdom. And with my mortal lips, I preach the eternal gospel. We have part in eternity. That's the only thing that will not crumble when everything burns, according to scripture. Make a decision. I want to dedicate my life to the service of God. The Holy Spirit will come and touch you. You will have a flame on your head. That's a fantastic resource. Every time my brain does not provide an answer for my questions, I go one level higher. And I draw from the fire. And lo and behold, I have answers that surprise myself. Hallelujah. I come back to that. Let me just quickly leave the 99 and come to the one lost and prodigal son or daughter. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is here. Scripture just comes to my mind from Isaiah, from the Psalms rather. Psalms. Let me see if I can find it quickly. Psalms 124. I'm sure it is, yes. Verse 7. Our soul is escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped because our help comes in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Say amen. Here, this speaks about the cage of sin. People are caught in a cage of sin. I was once preaching in Germany to a group of young men. Afterwards, one of them came, a student from the university. His eyes were cried red. He said to me, "Preacher, what you preached sounds to me like a fairy story. It's just a fairy story." I said, "Young man, do you always cry when you hear fairy stories?" He said, "No, I can't explain it. Something touched me inside, and I don't know what." That moment, I had that picture, a picture in my mind. I think this psalm expresses it best. You know, a bird that is born in a cage and has never known anything but the cage will think when you talk about the golden sun and the blue sky and the high mountains, when you talk about them, they think it's a fairy story. They don't know it. But the truth is, there is a better world outside. And when we preach the gospel, this glorious gospel, and we speak of sins forgiven, we speak of addictions broken, we speak of peace with God, other than the peace, a chemical dream because of drugs, that's no peace, that's captivity. People may say, "What? That sounds to me like fairy story." But inside, the Holy Spirit has already touched your heart. And at the nail-pierced stand of Jesus is here to open the cage. And you will escape. And you will be released into the world of the kingdom of God. And you will take flight and enjoy mountains and valleys. And you will sing to the glory of God. Hallelujah. But there's another kind of bird in the cage of the devil. That's the one who once was born in freedom, but was caught by the birdcatcher and thrown into that same cage. I'll tell you, that's the story of a backslider. I say miserable backslider. I say miserable because I haven't seen yet a happy backslider. They sit in that captivity and they know what's outside. precious gift they have lost, and they long to be out. Jesus is here to love you, to forgive you, to release you. That nail-pierced hand will come and unlock that cage and release you all. Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. It's Jesus Christ, our Lord. You can be totally set free from all your secret sins. Some people from the outside look so holy. Inside they are so rotten. It's unfortunately true. In Germany we call such Christians submarine Christians. You see? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they are cruising at great depths. Saturday night, midnight, they begin to emerge. Look, 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 look. Right in the church. And some of them may sing in the choir. And when you hear them sing, for a moment you thought the angels from the New Jerusalem had arrived. So sweet, so powerful. And when they lead in prayer, you for a moment thought the Apostle Paul has risen from the dead. The whole Sunday, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Monday, Saturday, Sunday night, sharp midnight, the submarine reverses. And when you meet the submarine Christians, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, if you meet them on the street or at work, you never think that they are Christians. They swear like the world. Foul language like the world. Filthy jokes like the world. Oh my God! I pray that every 50-50 Christian, every submarine Christian may emerge. Every submarine turn into an aircraft carrier for Jesus. Hallelujah! I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus was not ashamed to die for me naked on the cross. He suffered shame, the Bible says. He suffered nakedness. Artists don't want to paint him like that. But he suffered shame in public. And we can't get in public that word over our lips. Yes, I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. Jesus is here, no matter what your captivity is. And he's opening that cage door. You will be released into the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit will fire you up like a rocket. And maybe you will inherit my microphone. Hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! But the moment has come. I love you. I wish that I could just put my arm around your shoulder and say, come out of this submarine Christian existence. Come and stand up for Jesus. He will wash you from all your sins. He will break every addiction. He will set you free from all pornography. He will set you free from all drugs. Jesus is here. In Jesus' name, let's close our eyes. Lord, I thank you that you are here and that you are aiming at people who desperately need you. I now pray that you may stretch out your hand and touch everyone in that cage of the devil. This day is their release day, and I thank you for it. You will do a perfect work. I thank you for it. If you feel you are in the cage of the devil, you need forgiveness, you need release. I so much would like to pray for you. I wished I could put my arm around your shoulders. It's as personal as that. Jesus is here. Even if you think people might wonder why you come, because you are rated such a high, holy Christian, but you know things are rotten inside. Come to Jesus now. All eyes are closed. This is not a show. But if you want to be released by the hand of Jesus, I would love to pray for you. Just lift your hand as a sign. I will pray for you right now. Let me just wave your hand that I can see it better. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. This day is your day of salvation. I want everybody to stand, and I want you to come forward. Please come forward. I want to pray for you right here. Come forward. In Jesus' name, come forward. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. You're so welcome. There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. Just come and join these dear, precious people here in front. Just come, please. Just come. Just come. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. You just come. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. In Jesus' name, keep coming. Keep coming. Korabalabashianto solono. Ikarabo potiantia. Young men, young women, young girls and boys. Come, Jesus is calling you. Nobody here is mocking you. Everybody is praying. We are so glad that you came. You keep coming while I speak to all of you that are here in front. What must we do to be saved? Just look at me for a moment. What must we do to be saved? The word of God says, he who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when God says shall be, and you do what he tells you to do, you will be saved. And no chain can resist the power of God. You will be set free. Jesus is here with his precious blood. And the Holy Spirit is here. You'll get it all in one. We will now call upon the name of the Lord Jesus in prayer. And after that, you will just go with the, just through that door for a minute or two. And the counselors will just have a personal word with you, just a minute or two, and then you will come back. Just close your eyes, lift your hands. I want everyone to lift their hands, and I want everyone to repeat this prayer loud and clear after me in support of those who pray it here in front. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I am such a captive in the cage of sin. Lord Jesus, I repent and ask you to forgive me my sins. Let now your hand risen dawn, as you have promised. Thank you that I can now be released. I am free. You have set me free. Wash me with your holy blood. Remove all uncleanness and put within me a new heart, O God. I now receive it by faith. I believe it and receive it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just keep your hands up. I want to bless you. Lord, I exercise the power that you have given me. I break every satanic curse. Every satanic curse is now broken. Forever broken. In the name of Jesus. And I thank you that you now release your blessing upon every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. I bless you in the name of Jesus. I bless you, 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 I bless you. I bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone who has received, shout amen. 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 Could I now ask you to follow Pastor Duncan?
Sorry.
Just follow Pastor Duncan.
Okay. Just come this way, everybody.
Just for a
Those
minute,
of you
please.
Up at the front.
Don't go back to your seats.
Come
just
through with me
there.
Into the cafeteria.
Give them a hand as they go.
Come this way, everybody. Come with me. Come this way, everybody. Over here. Make your way over this way into our cafeteria. Come this way. Keep going. Keep going. Please make room. Let them through. Okay. Just keep coming through. Just keep coming through. Come right on through. Just keep making your way through quickly, please, everybody. Keep making your way through quickly.
Finished, so please be patient. I won't outstay my welcome. Just bear with me, please. When you invite an evangelist, it's your own mistake.
Carry on, please, evangelist.
Amen, 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 amen. I want to pray for the sick right now. I want to pray for the sick. I'll do it as we do it in Africa. That's all I can do right now. And after that, I still want to pray for those who have heard the call of God today. Okay? So don't go, because the fire is still going to fall. How many of you desire the fire? Yeah. Kurashila masari andala bakato. Oh, hallelujah. Okay. I'm asking also the healing teams to come forward who will pray for the sick here. I pray a general prayer, and the healing teams, or whatever you call them, will pray over them personally. The cell leaders. Amen. Okay, let me start praying. You may still come. Don't worry. When I speak, I accept responsibility for my words. When you speak, you accept responsibility for your words. If you can't do that, you may need maybe some mental help. When God speaks, He accepts responsibility for His word, and He says, I am the Lord, your healer. And I pray in His name, and He will come and touch you wherever you are. And the cell leaders will lay hands on you right now. And many miracles will happen. Let's lift up holy hands. Lord, I thank you that you know every single person, and you know every single disease. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, you came to destroy the works of the devil. Every work of the devil shall now be destroyed. I rebuke every sickness. I rebuke every terminal disease. I rebuke every mysterious disease. Receive your healing now. Blind eyes open. Deaf ears open. Deaf mouths speak in the name of Jesus. Be healed from cancer. Be healed from respiratory diseases. Be healed from rheumatism and arthritis. You are now being healed from breast cancer in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that your nail-pierced hand is touching everyone. Everyone who's coming to you in faith, receive your healing now in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Those of you that are cell leaders, if you could come to the front and just begin to mingle among the folks. There's a whole bunch of people in the aisles, so cell leaders, any of you that are on our prayer ministry team from any of the campuses, just come right up to the front and begin to minister right away, please.
While this is going on, I have a question. Who here this morning heard the call of God? You heard the call of God. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Lift your hand. The fire of God is here. And that fire will fall on you. Lord, I thank you that you have called so many men and women, young and old. And I thank you, Lord, that you will send them, you will send them, you will send them with the fullness of your power and with the flame of your spirit. Receive now the fire of the Holy Spirit. Receive the anointing for evangelism in the name of Jesus. There will be a divine impartation right now. Receive an impartation from heaven in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, worship the Lord and worship Him with in new tongues in Jesus' name. Shema ropo poko sila vataya. Hira poko sia la lava sharia tala lava si. Ima lava si poro poko shara la lava sia. Jesus. Jesus' name, Jesus.